Good morning. I feel blessed. How about you? The Lord is so good to us. I want us to pray together as we prepare our hearts for God's word and just thank him for the word of the Lord to us today. Amen. Let's get ready. Pray with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful to speak into our hearts and lives. And Father, I just thank you for the word that you've given us this day. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts, and Lord, that we would not leave this word just laying there for the enemy to steal, but Father, that truly we would cherish it and retain it in our hearts, and that it would bring forth a harvest in our life every day. Lord, that we would forever be changed by the living word of God. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a teacher in the children's church was asking the kids one day, if I sold my house and my car and all my possessions in a garage sale and gave all the money to the church, would I get into heaven? And they said, no. The teacher said, well, what if I came down to the church and I worked and cleaned the church and mowed the yard and tidied everything up and just worked and served and worked and served, would I get to go to heaven? They said, no. She said, well, then what do I have to do to get into heaven? A little five-year-old at the back of the class said, you got to be dead. Bad joke. Out of the mouths of babes, right? Well, I want to remind you, it's by grace that you are saved through faith. That's what Ephesians 2:8 tells us, and we should be forever grateful. We are forever in his debt. We're in a series right now simply titled Grateful, and I want to do a real quick review of last week's message because I know there's some of you that weren't here. And by the way, if you weren't here, I just encourage you to either get a CD or listen to it online. It's just such an important message because the Bible tells us that we're supposed to give thanks in everything. Now, it's one thing to know what the Bible says, but it's another thing to do it. And so there's some instruction in that message that will help you do it. I want to do a real quick review of the main points of that message, how you can, in everything, give thanks. First, you have to have faith. We're always going to have adversity. We're always going to have problems. But if we face those problems with faith, we believe that God is going to come through for us, and so we can thank him for it. Philippians 4:6 tells us that we are to pray with thanksgiving. We pray with thanksgiving because we believe. We're thanking God for the answers. I'm telling you, if you don't have faith, you won't be able to be grateful in everything. The second thing is that we have to learn to be content. One of the reasons that people are so ungrateful is that they don't appreciate what they have. If you're going to be grateful, you got to learn to be content with what you have. If you always have to have just a little more, you're never really going to be grateful. It's kind of the American way, you know, we always want more and want more and want more. But I'm telling you, the Bible way this morning, Hebrews 3:5 in the NIV says, be content with what you have. And third, if you're going to be grateful, you got to get your thinking right. Proverbs 23:7 in the King James says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, if you're thinking on the negatives, if you're thinking on the problems all the time, it's going to be hard to be grateful. But if you're thinking about the things that you're thankful for, it promotes, it cultivates a heart of gratefulness. Life is always filled with highs and lows. There's mountains and valleys. I got to tell you, you can be in the valley and yet find something to thank God for. You can also be on the mountaintop and find something to complain about. The difference is where your thoughts are focused. So if you're going to be grateful all the time, I'm telling you, you got to get your thinking right. We are a blessed people. We have so much. And there's so much more for most of us. There's so much more right in our lives than wrong, so much more good than bad. And yet, it's amazing how we can be just as ungrateful in the good times as the bad. In fact, sometimes it's even more so that we are so blessed and have so much and things are going right, and yet we can be ungrateful. Now, one of the reasons is that we can take things for granted. We just don't really think about it. And, you know, it's one of those things that if we lost it, well, then we would really be grateful when we got it back. But there is another reason, and I really believe that this is a timely word that God has for us. I believe this is a real revelation and something that will help you, that will set you free, and that will bring victory in your life if you'll get a hold of this. I'm telling you, there's another reason why we struggle sometimes. Even when things are going right and things are going well, we have so much, we struggle to be grateful. It is as simple as this. It's pride. It's the original sin, pride. Pride will keep you from being grateful. It's so much a part of our sinful nature that it blinds us many times, keeps us from seeing what is really holding back that gratefulness of heart, that thanksgiving, and giving God the credit and the praise that He deserves. Listen, so often, pride is the real root of ingratitude. You need to get this morning. I'm telling you, if you struggle to not really give God thanks through your day and just to have that heart of gratefulness, I'm telling you, here it is. There's a root there. See, the ingratitude is just the fruit. The root behind it is the pride. Religious pride, by the way, is the worst and the most deceptive, because we begin to feel pretty good about ourselves, and consequently, we start thinking that we deserve. Well, I'm a Christian. I serve the Lord. I do what is right. I work hard. I deserve. Psalms 103, verse 10 in the NIV says, He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Thank God He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Thank God He doesn't give us what we deserve. We should never get that attitude, I deserve. I know what I deserve. I deserve hell. I know that's what I deserve. I know that apart from the grace of God, apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made, that's what I deserve. I don't deserve any of the blessings that He's poured into my life. And you need to think about, what do you deserve? See, we were all born with a sinful nature. We were all born sinners. And the Bible says that all have sinned. I know that in this world, they always try to make righteousness a relative thing. And people say, well, I'm a good person. And they think they'll go to heaven because they've done more good than bad. Or they think they'll go to heaven because I'm not that bad of a person. I'm not as bad as that one. But I'm telling you the truth this morning, that it doesn't matter how good you are, that won't get you into heaven. There's only one way that you can get into heaven, and that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace, you are saved through faith. It's a gift. And you can't get it by being good. And I know it's not a popular message in this religious world we live in. I'm talking about especially in America. But the truth is that your loved ones will not go to heaven because they're a good person. There is only one way, and that is that they receive the free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the only way. And we need to start with that this morning because we got to get rid of that I deserve mentality. No, he doesn't treat us as we deserve, thank God. No, he treats us with grace, and grace is undeserved favor. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. In Romans 3:10, it says, there is none who does good, no, not one. You see, God's standard of righteousness and good is not like the standards of this world, which seems to get a little lower every year. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus said in Matthew 19:17, no one is good but one, God. He's good. So we don't come to God on the basis of our goodness. We don't expect from God. We don't deserve from God. We are forever in his debt. We should be forever and eternally grateful to him. And everything good in our lives is a blessing from God. I want you to know that I believe that if you obey God and that you will enjoy his blessings. That's scriptural. I also want you to know that I believe that if you work hard and you do what is right, then yes, you should enjoy the fruit of your labors. And I want to say this very plainly. I thank God that I live in a country where for the most part, when we work hard and we do what is right, we get to enjoy the fruit of our labors. Thank God for that. And I thank God that I live in this country. I'm so blessed. Do you realize how blessed you are to live in this country? That being said, I want you to hear me now. There is a great danger in our capitalistic system of getting to the place where we think that we deserve the blessings in our life instead of being grateful for them. I earned it. I worked for it. I got it myself. I don't need to thank anybody for it because I earned it. And that pretty much sums up a lot of our culture in America today, where people are ungrateful. And the root of it is pride. The reason that America is so ungrateful, the most blessed nation, and yet we're so ungrateful. Why? It's pride. And we just need to back up. We need to look at the Word of God and see. And I'm telling you, if you get free from that old pride, it'll change you. It'll change you into a grateful person. You'll also be a lot happier when you get free from that old pride. Pride is the attitude that says, nobody gave me anything. I worked hard for everything I have. I studied hard, and now it's paying off. I deserve what I get. I saved, and I did what was right. I made wise choices, and when others played, I was working, and I deserve what I get. Is it room for pride? Is it give cause to pride, or does it give cause to gratefulness in our heart? Pride will cause you to feel like that you have no one to thank but yourself. I want to remind you of the story of Jacob we talked about just a few weeks ago. Jacob worked for Uncle Laban for 20 years. And during that 20 years, the Lord blessed him with a great family. He called it two armies. He also blessed him with tremendous wealth. But during that 20 years, Jacob worked day and night. When it was hot, he was out in the heat of the sun working. At night, when it was bitter cold, he was out working, taking care of the livestock. For 20 years, he worked hard and he did the best that he could day after day after day. But when Jacob left there and he was praying to God, I want you to listen to what he says in Genesis 32:10. He says, "I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which you have shown your servant, for I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies, two armies of people." He says, "I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. I came across this Jordan with nothing but this stick. And now, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies." Now, let me tell you exactly how a lot of religious people would have handled that. They would have said, "Look at me. I came across here with nothing but this stick, but I worked hard for 20 years. I did it all. I just stayed after it and kept on night and day and night and day, and look what I have accomplished. I've come back a great man." Pride. Not Jacob. He said, "I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies." And I'm telling you, church, that if we're going to have a truly grateful heart, we got to get the pride out. Because as long as we're proud, we're going to think that we deserve everything we get. And whatever you think you really deserve, you don't give God credit for, and you don't give Him thanks for. Grateful people or humble people that acknowledge God's blessings. And when we're thankful, we're realizing that every good thing in our life came from God, that we don't have anything that God didn't give us. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father." See, whatever good is in your life, it is a blessing from God. Everything good in your life came from Him. If you have food to eat, clothes to wear, a warm place to sleep, much less a car, listen, if you have a job, if you have a family and friends, you are rich and have much to be thankful for. And I know it may sound like just religious talk to some, but that is only because of the callous ungratefulness of the generation that we live in. I'm telling you, it all comes from Him. Pride causes people to think that they deserve the good things in their life. And when they go wrong, when things go wrong, when they lose something good in their life, then they think that God has been unfair to them and that God is mistreating them or that God has let them down. It's amazing. They don't give God the thanks He deserves when they have the blessings and the good things because they think they deserve them. But then when they're gone, they give God the blame. God is not the thief. There's an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but it's not Him. He's the one who blesses us. He's the one who gives us every good and perfect gift. And how we need to change the attitude of our heart where there's no pride, where all of the blessings in our life are just cause for us to give God thanks, not for us to feel proud that look what I've done, look what I've earned, look, I worked hard for this, but instead we thank God for it. Just stay with me. Some of you are struggling a little bit. I'm telling you, there is such a stronghold that has to be torn down in this area. I don't know about you, but I remember as a little boy being taught that pride was a good thing. Oh, how we need to come to that place of humility before the Lord where we realize that every blessing in our life, it is from Him, and it's not because we deserve it. It is because of His grace. Many of the great blessings of God in our life, they come by faith. We appropriate the promises of God, and we believe God. And I want you to understand this, that pride works against faith. Because pride says, I can do it myself. I can work for it. I can earn it. I can get it. I don't need God's help. Faith is when you are relying upon God. You're not trusting yourself. You're trusting God. And I want to testify to you. I want to tell you this morning, I've learned over and over and over. It doesn't matter how hard I work, how much I beat my head against the wall, how hard I try, without God's help, without God's blessing, it is futile. And so I have to believe, I have to trust Him, I have to use my faith and in humility. I'm looking to Him to come through. I can do everything else right, but I still have to trust Him. Pride says, I did it on my own. I don't have to thank God for it. This morning, I really believe there's a stronghold that we got to tear down. It's so deeply rooted in our society that pride is the reason that we live in such an ungrateful society. And you know, most of us in our lives, we have some area that we really excel. Now, you might not readily acknowledge that or see that in your own life. You might even be unaware, but I'm just telling you, all of us have areas of our life where we have strengths or we excel. For some, it might be physical strength, might be a musical ability or intelligence, or like me, exceptional good looks. Thank you, sister. See, when everybody else is laughing at you, there's somebody that still loves you. Some of us think we're great drivers. Some of us think we're great fighters. Hopefully those two aren't going together, but anyway. Some of us think we're great lovers. Some of us think we're all the above. But seriously, all of us have areas where we are gifted. Some may be more public, more obvious, but all of us have gifts. I want to remind you there's a reason it's called a gift. When you're gifted, it's because you've been given a gift. Sometimes when children are exceptionally smart, they put them in a special program called gifted and talented. I'm so glad they don't call it better children. They're not better. They just happen to be gifted in a certain way. And we need to understand that if we have strengths, if we excel in certain areas, it's not a cause for pride. It's a cause for gratefulness to God because it's a gift. See, in the world, we're always puffed up when you're the best at something. No, it's a cause for humility before God that He would gift us with something. If you're better at something, listen, that's great. And I think it's great when those gifts are acknowledged, but it should be a cause for gratefulness, not pride. 1 Corinthians 4:7, this is one of those verses that it will mess some of you up this morning. But I mean in a good way, all right? I'm just telling you, this will wreck some thinking and some theology. But we need to get this. There are some rhetorical questions here that reveal some very, very obvious truths. He says, who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you indeed received it, why do you boast as though you had not received it? I hope you understand the answer to these rhetorical questions. Who made you different from anybody else? God did. If you have any strengths, if you excel in any area, it is God who made you different. See, if you're a hard worker, who made you a hard worker? God did. If you're good in business, who made you good in business? God. In America, we believe in the self-made man. But I got news for you. There's no such thing as a self-made man. God made all of them. Every single one of them. There's no cause for pride to think that we are better than somebody else. Who are you? Who makes you differ from another? If you have anything, if you have a house, a family, a car, friends, you received it from the Lord. Why do you boast as though you did not? Oh, now wait a minute, preacher. You don't understand. Because I didn't just receive it. I went out and I earned it. I want to tell you right now, you can do everything you've done. You can do twice what you've done and end up with nothing. Everything that we have is a blessing. It is a gift from God. And we give Him the praise, we give Him the thanks instead of allowing ourselves to be so prideful to think that we deserve the good things in our life instead of giving God thanks. Some are gifted with a natural ability in a certain area that's very obvious. But listen to me now. This hits home with a lot of us, me included. Some of us, it's not that it comes so easy to us. You know what I'm talking about? Some people, they're so gifted, things just come easy to them. Some of us, it didn't come easy. We worked hard. We were determined. We were disciplined. And we just kept going and kept going. When others wouldn't, we were working hard and we were disciplined. You need to realize that that also is a gift from God. The discipline, the determination, that strength to work hard, that's a gift from God. It is not a cause for pride. First Corinthians chapter 15, 9 and 10. Listen, of everybody that has ever followed the Lord Jesus Christ and served the Lord, there is none who have worked as hard as the Apostle Paul. There is none who have made greater sacrifices and literally given themselves to the cause of Christ. And in many ways, there's none who are more gifted, and there's none who have had a greater impact than the Apostle Paul. We're still impacted by his ministry. We're reading letters that he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. He says, I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Such humility. Most of us would say he's by far the greatest apostle. Wouldn't we? Come on, y'all are awful quiet. Wouldn't you think that the Apostle Paul was the greatest apostle? But he says, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. And some of us are so quick in our world, in our culture, people are so quick to take credit and exalt themselves, and they're so puffed up. And yet you see this humility with this man of God. He says, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Oh, how we need to use that phrase. We need to have that attitude in our mind every day, all day. It's by the grace of God that I am what I am. If we are anything good at all, it is by the grace of God. I'm telling you, it will not only make you more thankful, but it'll also make you less judgmental of other people. You think you're better than somebody else? It's only by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Another translation just says, I worked harder than all. But here it is. Yet not I, but the grace of God working in me. You see, he says, I worked harder than all the rest of them. But even that, he didn't take the credit for. He says, but it wasn't me, yet not I. It was the grace of God working in me. So believer, child of God, don't think you deserve. Acknowledge that it is God, that you are His workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. You are His workmanship. The gifts that you have, the strengths you have, it came from God. The hard work, the discipline, it came from God. It's a gift from God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace working in me. Whatever we are tempted to be prideful about, instead, it should cause us to give thanks to God. Whatever in your life that you might be tempted to be proud about. Most of us face that temptation all day long, whether we realize it or not. Now, I know some of you aren't going to own that. You're so proud of your humility that you don't realize. But we all face that temptation to be proud. And instead, whenever there's a temptation to be proud, I'm telling you, there's a reason there that you should be grateful. Get rid of that root of pride. Humble yourself before the Lord and acknowledge that He is the one who has blessed you and that everything that's good in your life came from Him. When you accomplish something, when your kid shines, oh, that's a wonderful feeling, isn't it? When your family is doing well, when you are being used of God in some way, don't be proud. Be grateful. I have lived long enough that by the grace of God, I've learned some of what I'm preaching this morning. There's been times years ago when I might have thought, look at my family, look what I've done, look how hard I've worked, but I've learned it's only God. It's only God's grace. And I tell you, we got to put away that pride of our generation. Instead, humble ourselves before God and say, God, I wouldn't have anything. I wouldn't have any of this without you. It could all be taken away in a second, in a moment. It's just the grace of God that we enjoy His blessings and enjoy all the good things in our life. But whatever you accomplish in this life, I'm telling you, it is cause for gratitude to God, not pride. We got to remember that without Him, we can't do anything of real value. In John chapter 15, Jesus is talking about how that when we abide in Him, then we will bear much fruit. And then in John 15 and 5, he makes this very profound statement. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Now, I'm going to clarify to you, you can certainly do a lot of things without Jesus. There are people in our world every day doing a whole lot of things that Jesus doesn't have anything to do with. They're doing it without Jesus, I can assure you. He's talking about anything of real value, anything meaningful, anything that makes a difference in this world, anything good, anything that has eternal value. Without Him, you can do nothing. Nothing. You see, and there it is, that it is in humility that we are relying upon Him, looking to Him for His blessing, that our labors and our efforts are not in vain, but that God will help us. We're looking to Him. And so we are forever grateful in whatever we accomplish and whatever we do in our life. We're giving God the glory and thanking Him for it instead of taking the opportunity for pride. Paul said, we plant, we water, but God gives the increase. And you know what? You can plant, you can water, and nothing happen without the blessing of God. I'm telling you, you can work hard, you can do everything right, but without the blessing of God, your efforts are futile. I take no credit for pastoring this church. I am just thankful. And I encourage you to just thank the Lord for the opportunities that He gives you to serve and to work in the kingdom. Realize that it is just a blessing of God, and that when you make a difference, it's His doing. Some in our society think they are entitled. I know that in our culture that's come to mean a certain thing, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. In fact, a lot of the time, religious people are some of the worst at thinking that they are entitled. Jesus tells a quite famous story. It's in Luke chapter 15. We call it the story of the prodigal son. And in this story, he talks about a younger son who comes to his father and demands to have his inheritance early. Not going to wait for dear old dad to pass on. No, he demands to have his inheritance now because he wants to leave and go do his own thing. A little ungrateful brat. And he takes his wealth and he goes and he wastes his money on wild living until there's nothing left. And because there's a great famine in the land, he goes and he hires himself out to a pig farmer. And this guy is so poor, he wants to eat the pig slop. You know what you feed pigs? Anything. And he wants to eat it. That's how hungry he is. You talk about being at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, that's as low as you can go. But that's what it takes for some people, you know. And he gets to that place, and the Bible says he came to himself. He had a realization. He said, even my father's servants have plenty of food to eat. He says, I will go to him, and I will say to him, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but make me like one of your hired servants. And so he heads for home. And the Bible says that while he was still a great way off, the father saw him and ran to meet him. He hugged him. He kissed him. He called for the servants to bring a robe for him, to put shoes on his feet, to put a family ring on his finger. He said, my son is home. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate. And Jesus tells us this wonderful story to illustrate the heart of our Father and how He treats the sinner when they turn and go home. When those who would come near to God and they've made mistakes, no matter what they've done, the Father comes running to meet us. He loves us. He embraces us. He treats us as a son, as a daughter. And they celebrate around the throne of heaven. That's how He's treated us. How could we ever, ever be anything but grateful? And how could we? What if the son came home and said, you know, I deserve. We would have laughed. We would have said, what an idiot. And that's exactly what some people do to God. You know, God, I did this and I did that. I deserve. No, you don't. You are forever in his debt. You owe him your gratitude every day. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus goes on and he talks about an older brother. And I just want to read it to you. It's Luke 15, 25 through 32. It says, now the older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, the father came out and pleaded with him. And so he answered him and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. Now, how many of you that have kids would say that this guy was fudging the truth just a little bit? I have never disobeyed you. Now, I know it's just a story, but I'm just saying, come on. I have served you. I've been working for you for all these years. I have never disobeyed you. And you never gave me even a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours has come, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, and you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and is lost, or was lost and is found. And Jesus uses this part of the story to illustrate the attitude of the religious people, of the Pharisees, who at the beginning of the chapter accused Jesus of welcoming sinners. But like the Pharisees, you see, the older brother had a pride problem. He says, I have done everything I was supposed to. I have worked, I have served, I've never disobeyed you. In fact, when he hears the music and the dancing, he's out in the field. What do you do out in the field? You work. And he was mad that they killed the fatted calf to celebrate. He says, you never even gave me a young goat for me to celebrate with my friends. I've been working and serving and working and serving. He says, I've always been here doing what's right. He feels entitled. Do we feel entitled because we're Christians and we've been working and we've been serving and doing what's right? Do we identify with the older brother? He was angry that they killed the fatted calf for the younger brother. But he is also angry that he didn't get what he felt like he deserved. You've never even given me a young goat. No humility, no gratefulness, just pride and ingratitude. And the father says to him, everything I have is yours. But he didn't even realize how blessed he was because he thinks he's not getting what he deserves. And there it is, a picture of religious America. They don't even realize how blessed. Church, this morning we got to realize how blessed we are. Not have that feeling of, I deserve more. I'm telling you, that is an attitude of pride. Instead, we got to realize how blessed we are, how good God has been to us. Oh, not that we deserve anything. He's just gifted us and blessed us, poured out abundance on us. Stop looking at others and judging others and thinking, well, I deserve. Religious pride, so deceptive. Even in pretense, we can thank God and turn it into an opportunity for pride. Well, it goes like this. Jesus talks about the Pharisee that went to the temple to pray, and he stood and he prayed like this. He said, "I thank thee, God, that I am not like other men." I want you to know that's not gratefulness. When you stand in pride and judge others, you're not being grateful. And I'm just telling you, that's how deceptive pride can be, that we can even be proud of our religiousness. God forbid. Who makes you better than somebody else? No, we need to give God all the glory, all the honor, and realize that the same goodness that God has shown to us, He wants to share, He wants to show that same goodness to others. But don't let pride keep you from being truly grateful. We got to humble ourselves before the Lord. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Now, some people think that to be humble means that you think of yourself as the scum of the earth, but that's not at all what humble means. Humble is when you acknowledge that God is the sovereign Lord of the universe and that He's the giver of every good gift, that whatever we have, it is the blessing of God. If we accomplish anything, it is by God's grace. That's humble, that we give God the glory and the thanks for everything that He's done in our life. Humility produces gratitude. Pride always produces ingratitude, and it brings resistance. You see, God gives grace, more undeserved favor to the one who's humble. Wow, I want more of that. I got a whole lot of undeserved favor in my life, but I'm ready for more, Lord, more of your blessing. How does that happen? You humble yourself, and He gives grace to the humble. He just pours out blessings we don't deserve. But when we are proud, the Bible says He resists the proud. Listen, when the Lord's hand is against you, you are in for a hard time. All of us go through battles and struggles and all kinds of trouble. But when God's hand is against you, you're in real trouble. He resists the proud. And I want to remind you one more time. You see, when we're humble, we're trusting God. We're believing God. And God shows us grace. It's by grace we're saved through faith. But when we're proud, we think we can do it on our own. We think we got it on our own. And God resists us. All of us fight this battle with pride. Humble yourself before the Lord. Keep a humble heart before God. And I'm telling you, as you do that every day, all day, whether you accomplish anything, whether you work hard, you see blessings in your life, all of it will give you cause to give God thanks, to be grateful. Get rid of that old root of ingratitude, pride. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I just thank You for Your mercy, that You deal with us so lovingly and graciously. And Father, I ask that You forgive us as Your people for times when we have taken for granted and when we have been prideful. And Father, I just pray that this morning that people would just be set free by knowing the truth that You really are the blesser and that You have shown us such grace. I pray, Father, that You would just do a lasting work in our hearts today, that we would forever be changed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I'm going to dismiss the congregation in just a moment, but I know that some of you need to come for prayer this morning. There's some of you that you've just been trying to do it all on your own. It's time for you to humble yourself and look to God. He loves you. He wants to help you. For some of you, you've realized this morning that pride has crept in, and you know you haven't really been giving God the credit that He deserves and giving Him the thanks that He deserves. That on a daily basis, moment by moment basis, that you are grateful to Him. You need to change that today. I want you to know that if you'll turn to Him in repentance, He forgives. He'll help you begin fresh and new with Him. Some of you, you realize you want to get free from that old bondage. I deserve and I'm entitled. And instead, just walk in the blessings of God as He pours them out on you. Whatever your prayer need might be this morning, our prayer partners are here to pray with you and believe God with you. So as we dismiss, I encourage you to come for prayer. And as we go out this morning, we go with a grateful heart that every blessing in our life is from Him. Keep the pride out. Stay humble before God and give Him thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.